In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today again about what it means to be a holy woman. Yesterday I spoke of the high calling of God to us women in the pure sacrifice of marriage, or, as God wills, in the pure sacrifice of a life's celibacy. I don't meet very many women who would choose a life of celibacy. But holy people, men or women, are open to what God chooses. Choose for us, God, nor let our weak preferring cheat us of good thou hast for us designed. That's one of the hymns of my life. And I emphasized virginity yesterday, trying to show what a high and holy calling it may be to offer that virginity for the life of the world. Today, I want to read you what I thought was a delightful little piece from a young mother named Dottie Vanderhorst. Recently, on a Saturday afternoon, she writes, "I had a 5 BPU. That's short for 5 body bathroom pileup. With my 8-month-old Anne and 2-year-old Paul, I often change diapers in tandem. There's a rhythm to the whole thing one achieves with practice. This particular time was the extended routine. Drop diaper in toilet, wash the small bottom, wash the washcloth, wash the plastic pants, rinse the diaper, a quick toss to the pail, lid up, lid down, put the clean diaper on, pins in, clean plastic pants on, reclothe the bottom half, voila, a sweet child again. Sometimes I save the diaper to rinse till last, and sometimes a distraction intervenes. This time, our new Welsh Corgi pup, Tommy, did. At 3 months, he's still a baby, and a yelp from his kennel indicated that he needed to get to the backyard. Well, he had needed to. As I let him out and quickly replaced wet newspapers in his cage with dry ones, I heard the front door slam and hasty steps making for the bathroom. Suspicious. Yes, mud in the hallway, follow the trail, mud on the white bathroom tiles, mud on the sneakers, on the, aha, the culprit. Home from the park in a great state of emergency, but the goal, the toilet, reached in the nick of time. Sorry for the mud, Mom. Please don't flush the diaper down the toilet. A knock at the door. A younger friend was waiting outside, also with muddy boots. As I was cleaning the marble in the hallway, another knock came. I have to go to the bathroom, my young visitor told me. Off with his boots and up to the station. He waited patiently as I wiped mud designs off the floor and rescued the abandoned diaper from the toilet. A sweet guy, I thought. A few days later, on recalling the episode, my thoughts weren't so positive. That 5 BPU had taken an hour or so, a good chunk of Saturday afternoon. And I'd had ambitions, too, other activities and ideas of far more value, more creativity, more elevation than bathroom duties. My attitude took a plunge. Somewhat cynically, I assured myself, and there will be countless more times to run through that routine again, times I'll have to be patient and kind. My monologue was cut into by a totally unexpected thought. The very hairs of your head are numbered. My heart took the Spirit's rebuke and applied it on the spot. If every hair of my head is known by God, and how many do I brush out every day? 5,267? 4,321? 1,239? 2,007? How much more my days and ways? The Lord knows my every transaction. He follows each one with interest. How will she do this time? Will she receive the grace I'm giving her? The power to take it with a smile? To handle that small body with a gentle touch? to encourage the child with kind words, fingers slow enough to give peace as well as comfort? Will he be pleased with his child's handling of BPU 5023? Yes, she did well this time. My chances to pass the tests he sends my way aren't unlimited. Anne, Paul, and Tommy will eventually need no help in their bathroom business. Since I have only a set number of opportunities to exercise kindness to my children, why not make the most of them? Thank you, Dottie Vanderhorst, for that delightful piece on motherhood. Then I get some very interesting letters from men, and I thought this was one that would interest you, apropos of the subject that we're talking about. He says, "It's a crying shame that the vocation and career of mothering in the family has been trashed by the feminist leaders of our society. The denigration of this lofty career has been done to establish a large power base upon which these would-be leaders can build a foundation for the further deployment of a materialistic, discriminatory, and capricious philosophy of life, which diametrically opposes the principles of Christianity. Make no mistake about it, it is a battle for Christian living opposed to principles of secularism and materialism. Yet many women, and even Christian women, have been fooled into thinking it is something for their betterment. It is far from that. A woman's dignity and unique character does not come from what other women say about her, or from what she does or does not do in the eyes of these worldly feminists. The lust for power by these feminists, NOW, the National Organization of Women, ARA, Free Choice, etc., and to justify their own unconscionable choices, continues to drive these women further from the truth and further from Christ. They have made their cause the polarization of society, women against men, and have by so doing drawn off those vital virtues of love, kindness, concern from society." I'm still reading this letter now from a man. Listen to this. "Men cannot do it. Most women won't listen to them." He's speaking of saving our society. "Women such as you," he says to me, "women such as you with the true Christian philosophy for women must come forth more and more in the public media. Men cannot do it. Most women won't listen to them. The truth is the truth, no matter who speaks it. But today, who brings the message has become as important as the message itself." I am aware of the fact that as a woman, I can say a whole lot of things that few men would be able to get away with. But I am an older woman, and I am attempting to be obedient to God's command to older women, to teach the younger women what it means to be a woman, to accept your marital status or your single status as a gift from God, to love your children, to love your husband, to stay home. And that is not an idea that I came up with out of my head. That's what it says in Titus 2, 3-5, that the older women are to teach, encourage, help, do all that they possibly can to help the younger women to do these things, one of which is to stay home. So if there's anything at all that I can do to lodge in your consciousness what the Word of God says about the importance of women staying home, that's what I want to do. Not in order to be purveying unpopular opinions. I would have better sense than to stick my neck out in this way if that was my object, merely to be dishing out something startling or something that is going to bring me into the headlines because I'm so bizarre or crazy. My object is simply to point you back to the Word of God. There are women in secular power today, but I think that when these women gain secular power, it is still a secondary kind of power, because it seldom penetrates the full depth and power of the feminine soul. And unfortunately, I think it's often detrimental to that feminine power. We have a misguided notion of wholeness. The cult of personality encourages ambition and places the misguided notions of wholeness over against surrender to the will of God. It's a secular value, and it replaces the glory of femininity with the commonplace. Is that what we want? Is that what we really want? I want to encourage you to think about how you would define femininity. How would you define womanliness? How would you define holiness? Who are your models, your examples? Think of the older women who have influenced your lives. Were they feminine? Were they womanly? Were they holy? Aren't they worth imitating then? The scripture tells us that we are to look at those who have shaped our faith, to consider the outcome of their faith, and to imitate it. None of us is worth imitating in every particular, but I trust that every one of you out there has some example somewhere of a godly woman so that you can shape your life after her femininity and her godliness.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.